Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm John Paul, and with me today we have my good friend Brock Gill. Brock, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Brock, where are you?
Today I'm in Florida. I'm down here shaking hands with Irma.
Man, so right now in the recording of this podcast, Hurricane Category 5, Hurricane Irma is breathing down the necks of all of Florida, and Brock decided to drive down that way.
And just wanted to say hello and greet the storm.
Brock, you are a busy dude. For anybody that doesn't know you and hasn't heard you on any of our past episodes, tell everybody what you do.
Yeah, so I am an illusionist and stunt artist and evangelist. That's a mouthful. That's three weird things probably. But so I do illusions and stunts and use all of that to share the gospel and travel all over the world doing that. Doing the show draws people, and then, with a good crowd listening and laughing, and they're ready to hear the gospel. So that's what we do. Been doing that for 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
That is, man. And let me tell you, Brock is good at it. I brought Brock in as a student pastor one time in Hampton, Virginia. And as soon as he was done, I was like, okay, we need to go ahead and figure out when we can have Brock back. If you listen to the last episode we did with Brock, it's been a little while ago, and we told some of this story. But when Crystal and I moved to Tennessee to start this job at Lifeway, we showed up at this little church at the time called The Bridge, and there was Brock and Ani standing there greeting at the doors. And we were like, what in the world? Crystal turned around to me. She's like, that's Brock Gill. And we had this back and forth. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. And finally, one of the pastors saw us talking about it. He's like, you want me to introduce you? And I was like, no, I know him. I was just kind of surprised. Maybe I was starstruck, Brock. Maybe that's what it was.
That was.
So we've got – Brock's got a little bit of a treat for you guys today. He said he wanted to kick the podcast off with a trick. What do you got?
I've got something that I'm working on. This will be the first time, so let's try it. Why not? You know, the first time to debut something is really in front of thousands of people, really. You know, if you think about it, that's the best time.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you're going to be in front of right around 60,000.
Oh, man. So here's what I want. Here's what I want everyone to do. Everyone who's listening is going to need to use their hands right now. So free up your hands. If you're driving a motorcycle, never mind. This isn't for you.
Use your knees.
We're going to use your right hand for this. So open up your right hand. If you do not have a right hand, then borrow someone else's right hand. we're going to use all five of your fingers. If you don't have all five fingers, then maybe borrow those from someone else as well. So here's what we'll do. Stare at your palm so that you can see. On your left, you should have a pinky. On the far right, there should be a thumb. Everybody with me?
Yep.
Good. I heard 60,000 people reply with a big yep. That was great. So now just keep that hand open. We're going to take your left index finger, and you're going to put it on your right pinky. You got it?
Got it.
Now, here's how this is going to work. We're going to move around to different fingers. Here's the rules, though. You can't skip fingers. And when you get to the thumb, you have to return back the other direction. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you can't go from pinky to pointer, and you can't go from thumb to pinky.
Correct. Another thing that you can do is you can switch directions any point at any time that you want. So, for example, if you move over to the ring finger and middle finger and want to go back towards the pinky, you can do that at any point and then switch again if you want. But we're going to make several moves, and I just wanted to make sure it's just clear for everybody.
Got it.
Final thing is, some people may wonder, like, what happens if you get to the thumb? I'll just make sure everybody understands. If you get to the thumb, just turn around and come back the other direction. So we're going to start by making five moves. Don't skip fingers, but just make five moves. Do that now.
One, two, three, four, five.
Okay, keep your finger right there on that finger that you have. So I know that you're not on the pinky right now, so go ahead and take the pinky and remove it.
Okay.
Also, go ahead and put down your thumb, so you should have three fingers up.
Okay.
Make one move. Perfect. Now you're not on the ring finger. Put that one down. You should have two fingers looking like the peace sign right now. Make one more move and take the other finger away. Keep your finger right where it is. You have one finger pointed up right now. And when I said point, that got your attention. That is your pointer finger, your index finger that you're pointing right now. Is that right?
Man, I don't know how you did it. But me and Nathan okay. are on pointer fingers in the Dave McNeil Memorial Podcast Studio right now.
Well, that's all that matters. I hope you had fun with that. Something interactive, you know, just for fun.
Yeah. So something else I want to talk with you about is your book that's coming out with Lifeway students on October 2nd called Feed the Dog.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to hear the words that you just said. My book is coming out October 2nd. I've been working on it for a long time. I'm very excited about it. It's called Feed the Dog, and I am so excited about it.
Man, so it's an 8-session Bible study on spiritual disciplines. Tell us a little bit about it. I came to you and said, man, I think you need to write a study for us. Do you have anything that would be on your heart? Do you have a message that you want to communicate? And you went straight to spiritual disciplines. Why?
Well, I was noticing in kind of teenage culture that it's not real common for, teenage churchgoers to have the spiritual disciplines. It just didn't seem like that was a part of normal conversation or part of normal life. And I also noticed that as a new believer was coming to Christ, I wanted to provide them with more kind of more resource to help them kind of start their journey, you know, with Christ. And so this was kind of in my heart and in my mind, kind of rolling around for quite a few months, probably longer. But I had told someone, I said, hey, I'm going to do some sort of resource, a video, a book, something to give to people. And right when I started talking about that, just to my inner circle of my team, you approached me and said, hey, want to write something? And I went, actually, I have an idea. And when I told you guys the idea, you obviously you jumped on it. And so let me explain what the book is.
Yeah.
It's called Feed the Dog. The idea came from this. A man had two dogs. The one he fed grew the biggest. We have spirit and we have flesh, and the one we feed is going to grow. We need to starve the flesh and feed our spirit, and how we do that is through the spiritual disciplines. And so it's important for me, and I think it's important for every believer, to make sure that we're doing those spiritual disciplines, such as prayer and Bible study and worship and community and ministry and solitude and fasting and those types of things, so that we can grow, just grow in the way of godliness to become more like Jesus. And so I'm real excited about it. And that's what this book is about. I think it's a fresh approach, and I think that with the visuals that we have included with the videos, I think it's going to be a real easy thing to teach from and to learn from. So, yeah, October 2nd.
It's going to be a big day. So here's a question for you. Is there anything specifically, any place specifically in your shows that you see – a lack of spiritual disciplines highlighted, you know, because I mean, one of the things, you know, as we've kind of talked about this, a lot of your observations that you make about the church and about student ministry comes from the fact that you're in hundreds of churches every year. So what about your engagement with student ministries all over the country, all over the world, led you to this need for a study on spiritual disciplines?
As I speak at different places, I've had a chance to talk individually and also kind of survey different groups. And one thing that is that we see a lot of is the lack of Bible study in people's lives in a, on a personal level. That's a big one. I think you see a lot of prayerless Christian lives, which is kind of scary. One of the surveys that I think anyone could do just to kind of get a gauge of where people are spiritually is ask people if they know any Bible verses, if they could quote any Bible verses.
Yeah.
And as I have asked those questions and even surveyed, what I've discovered is that in a group of church-going teenagers, very few people can quote more than about three verses. Four is about the max. About 5% of the crowd will be able to get to maybe 4 to 5 verses. But after that, it's rare to have many people kind of saying, man, I can quote 8 verses or 10 verses. And you go, well, that's kind of weird. You know, it's hard to memorize. But on the same way, it's like whatever you spend time around, it's going to stick. You'll memorize it even without trying. Sometimes it's just it'll start to stick if you're around it enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, just through daily conversation or with conversations about people's daily spiritual walk, the things that seem to be lacking are prayer and Bible study. And that's, to me, is like, that's like step one. That's like the thing I need the most in my life.
Yeah. And that's something I've seen. I don't know if you do that in every show, but that's something that I've seen you do several times. And so that's a, man, for you, you've probably got a really strong pulse on, hey, this is pretty consistent across the country. Do you tend to see, like, are there pockets of the world or pockets of the country or pockets of certain denominations where you see more than others? Or is this kind of like across the board, you kind of see that 5%, around 5% are able to quote 4 to 5 verses?
Yeah, so that is like that number there that I'm giving you is from like Southern Baptist circle. Outside of that, it goes down. And so when I'm in front of Methodists or Lutherans or others, like it would be even less. I don't do this survey like everywhere I go, but when I have chances to speak at conferences and camps and those kinds of things, I oftentimes will do it. And it I kind of keep it funny, but at the same time, it's a really tough thing to see. And
yeah.
And it's kind of like, oh, wow, we really don't read our Bibles. You know, we really don't, we don't read and we don't understand scripture and we don't pray that often. And if you're wondering about why you don't know the will of God, maybe it's because you're not reading the Word of God. So that's kind of the thing that I see. And that's, and I'll put it this way, in the Biblist parts of the world, I would call that like the South, like Mississippi, Texas.
Yeah. Right.
That's about as Bible as it gets, right?
Yeah.
And I've been in those places where you would think, oh, all these kids are Christian. And that's where I see this to be a major problem.
So what do you think is the disconnect? I mean, this is something that I've seen this. I know this to be true just in my years in student ministry. It's a constant struggle to get students engaged in Scripture and legitimately finding value and joy in pursuing the discipline of reading Scripture. But what do you think is the disconnect? Why is it so hard for student ministry leaders to get their kids engaged in the Word?
That is a great question. If I had a simple answer for that, I would be pretty happy. But I think the answer may be more complicated. I think it may be a cultural thing. I think it may be the fact that we just want to be entertained. I think there is some serious heart problems. Just the fact that I think that there's a lot of people that just may need to fall in love with Jesus, and a lot of things like that I think contribute to the kind of the overwhelming problem. And I know that it's frustrating for youth workers to try to get teenagers to pray daily and read Scripture daily. But you know, you think about this, teenagers these days are busier than they've ever been. They're playing sports. They've got tons of homework. They need an agent or a manager just to keep up with their schedules. I mean, it's amazing how busy these kids are.
Yeah.
And somehow we've allowed, you know, athletics, for example, to kind of be number one thing in their life, and we encourage it. And, I mean, I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but I see a lot of idolatry in that, in that, where it seems like that's what we make most important. That's what we celebrate the most. And that's what we put so much focus and energy on, that it's almost like, well, no wonder they've got a spiritual problem, you know?
Well, and that, Brock, I think that's the simple answer, is that there just isn't from a leadership perspective, like the people that are the disciple makers, and I'm not really talking about student pastors in this comment, because they are not the primary disciple makers of our students. Their parents
are.
But there is not a focus in most homes on the spiritual disciplines. You know, I can remember walking downstairs anytime that I woke up early enough, I would catch my dad reading and praying downstairs in the living room. And in that moment was not allowed to talk. It didn't matter what was going wrong. I was not allowed to talk to my dad. That was his time with the Lord. And if you need something, if you're about to throw up, then go take care of it. If you need lunch money, then you need to wait a half hour, whatever.
Wow.
That's his time in the Word and in prayer. And he communicated regularly. Listen, if I don't get this, then I'm not worth anything to you or your mom or your brother and sisters. So that's something that I had modeled for me, but that is increasingly, more and more incredibly rare.
Yeah.
And so it's not something that is a part of many adults' lives. And so we can't expect for it to be naturally a part of our students' lives. And that's why a study like this is so important, not only because it's rich content, but I would be willing to guess that most of these student ministry leaders did not have that modeled for them either. Yeah. So a study like this is just as much a roadmap for them as it is for their students.
I think so. One thing that we've had is we've had some adults kind of preview this book, and this is readable for adults and teenagers alike, which I'm happy with. So I think that this can inspire and help even their parents. You know, their parents could read this as well, and almost like create energy together, like get excited together. We think that this book is fun. It's fun to read. It's easy to read, and it's like I said before, I hope it's a fresh approach. I think it shines new light on the subject that seems to be a subject that's been around for centuries, but I think it's fresh and relevant for our families today.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that student ministries are going to pick up on this feed the dog language. I would love to hear some student pastors saying to their students and students saying to one another, "Hey, did you feed the dog this week?"
Yeah.
You know, just in a
Yeah.
You know, almost like code language, you know, for students in school. Like they see each other in the cafeteria and like, "Hey, did you feed the dog?" You know, that would be, I think I could have a ton of fun with that as a student pastor with my students. And so I think that'll be really cool. One more question I would like to ask you. So we have worship, scripture, solitude, fasting, ministry, prayer, and community. How did you land on those being the disciplines to highlight in this study?
Well, we had a big hat and we just started drawing different names out of the hat. And
perfect.
No.
You snapped your fingers and said some magic words, and those are the ones that began to float out of that hat. Is that how?
I used my pointer finger and just – no, I – for me, those are the things that through some thought and prayer, those seem to be the things that need a lot of attention right now. And it's also things that in the past several years, God has worked in me in different ways and shown me different things, or maybe insight or corrected things in my own life. And so the things that kind of rose to the top were those seven. So that's kind of why we landed on those seven.
So there's some, you know, worship. If you look at any spiritual disciplines study, there are going to be some commonalities there just because of the kind of content. And so there's some that are expected that you've given a really cool approach to, like worship, scripture, fasting, solitude, prayer. There are some other ones in there, like ministry and community. Talk specifically about ministry and community. What do those mean? Why do you put those into a discipline category?
Good question. You know, for ministry, that's something that we should be doing. It's not just something that we're a part of.
Yeah.
It's not something that we go to. We should be doing ministry. And so kind of under that umbrella of the Great Commission and our response and obedience to the Great Commission, ministry should be a part of that. The other thing that I found is doing ministry feeds my spirit. It feeds the dog.
Yeah.
So for me to, you know, personally feed the dog, I go out there and have ministry and just fill up. I mean, I'm full of joy and I'm inspired and I want to grow closer to Jesus in those moments. And even at times ministry is very difficult. There's those wins along the way. I go, wow, this makes me love Jesus more. And so that's why ministry to me is a great discipline to kind of focus on. And then community, the other part of your question.
Yeah.
None of this can happen outside of community. We're not designed to be islands or doing this individually, but we're supposed to do all of this as part of a community. So even though we have individual prayer, we have corporate prayer, we have individual worship, we have corporate worship. I mean, it's no one should be all by themselves doing these things or living this life of faith. And so you're kind of exploring community. I think it's very important. You know, people are looking for community. That's why their social media is so exciting to people, is because they're trying to find a new kind of community there. And I just want to remind people that, man, this whole idea of community, you can trace that way back. I mean, Jesus did it in part of a community of 12.
Yeah. Yeah, and all that, man, I think that's just, it's dead on. All of these disciplines, it's all about actively pursuing our faith, because we have an enemy that is actively working against us pursuing these things, so that we are focused more on ourselves than we are on Jesus. We're focused more on ourselves than we are on the people around us and than we are on the things that God is calling us to do. And so actively worshiping and actively reading the scriptures, actively getting away to be in solitude, to pursue him without the noise of the world, actively fasting and putting, you know, disciplining our body to make sure that we're focusing on the Lord, praying, doing ministry. The ministry one I think is so cool, because I think a lot of students probably would look at ministry and say, well, that's what my student pastor does. You know, that's what my small group leader does. That's what a guy like Brock Gill, that's in front of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people every year, does. But that is what we're called to do. We have a ministry that God has appointed for us to go and make disciples. That's not just for Brock to do. That's for our students to do. And that's something we have to highlight for them. And then in community, man, I feel like I learned the community lesson in a brand new way every couple of years. Because I tend to, my personality type, I tend to allow myself to become isolated, and I draw in, and I'll find myself in a place like, man, I don't have somebody speaking into my life. I don't have a group of people that I'm really running hard with. That's been a lifelong struggle for me. And so that idea of actively pursuing Christian community and brotherhood and accountability and encouragement, man, all of that is such a big deal. I think this study is going to be a home run for all the students and leaders that go through it. And man, Brock, I've told you this, this is not just podcast talk, but I really do feel a great privilege in you letting me run with you in this and get this message out to students. So thank you so much for partnering with us in it.
Oh, thank you. I just feel so privileged, and you guys have been amazing to work with. And I'm just so thrilled. October 2nd, people are going to finally get a chance to see all this hard work come in and hopefully inspire and change some families and churches and communities.
And you get to see Brock do an illusion at the beginning of every teaching video. So it's not just your normal Bible study. It's got a little Brock Gill flavor.
Including a new stunt that no one has ever seen me do that is quite dangerous and quite crazy, but it's on there.
Yeah, I put my graphic designer's life in Brock's hands.
That is a true statement.
For this study.
100% true.
And she didn't know what she was getting into when she accepted. That was the best part.
I'll do this quick, but we have to tell why, like what we're talking about. So we had an assistant that was to be there to tape this part or film this part of the program, and she couldn't make it. So literally we're stressing out in the final few minutes of the production schedule, and we just start calling who could be available. And you brought your your designer to come in, and we stood her there, and she had no idea what she was being a part of, and it got crazy. But she's a champ. I was so excited.
She is. She didn't look nervous at all. I don't know if she was inside or not. Well, man, thanks so much. I would advise you to leave Florida sooner than later. So safe travels out of Florida and away from Irma.
I'll do it. I'm on my motorcycle, so I'm going to hop on the Harley and head north right now.
Nice. All right, man. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes. Thanks. See you guys.
See ya.